the action of a person. And today we will hear about a devotee who, a lesser known devotee, who is nevertheless so absolutely famous amongst all types of Vaishnavas that the step which separates the inner, the interior of the temple and the outside is called after him. You know, when you come from this world into the world of Krishna, or when you come from outside into the temple, you need to step over a certain threshold, the temple threshold. And this threshold is named after this devotee. In fact, in some temples, you will see a carving of this devotee on the threshold. You will see actually him lying on his chest, paying obeisances to Krishna inside the temple. And next to him is his good wife. Thank you so much. Before entering into the temple, you are supposed to remember this devotee. There is still one temple in Vrindavan, the Radharaman temple, where each day the devotees collect the dust from this threshold, and they see that this is maha maha dust. This is dust of the devotees, but it's also the dust of this particular devotee, the emblem of faith in our Vaishnava culture. And you can find this dust in some separated area, and then you can smear it over your head, and if you like, over your chest and your whole body. So this devotee, the threshold devotee, gives an example of what is Shraddha. And by hearing about his life and his history, our faith in devotional service is increased by 100,000 times. The name of this devotee is Maharaj Kulashekhar. And this evening I would like to tell his story to some extent, and request you to really listen with rapt attention and learn from Kulashekhar a lesson in Shraddha, or a lesson in faith. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, of the beautiful goddess of faith. She's a goddess called Shraddha Devi, and the devotee is asking her to take her seat in the heart. Shraddha Devi is dressed in a white zari, which indicates her purity from all material types of faith. This pure Shraddha is necessary to enter into the path of chanting. And this Shraddha can be learned and obtained from great devotees who have the faith in their heart. By hearing the wonderful narration of Maharaj Kula Shikhar, who is the emblem of faith, our own faith will increase in leaps and bounds. My devotees, I request you to sing now with your full heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah.
Pradaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare
request you to respect the Vaishnavas around you and take care of your child appropriately in the way he needs to be taken care of. My dear devotees, who have assembled this evening to hear something about Krishna and to hear about the glories of his devotees, today I will attempt to satisfy your ears with a great narration of Maharaj Kulashikar, the best of kings, who gave up his kingdom as insignificant because he was totally absorbed in the glories of Lord Krishna. My words are not sufficient to praise Kulashikar, and I lack devotional qualification. However, I ask you, does not ordinary well water become special when it bathes the Shalagram Shila? In the same way, words spoken by an ordinary conditioned soul can become spiritually enlivening if they glorify the Vaishnavas who have given their lives to Krishna with full faith. Listen very carefully as this katha unfolds, because you might find some clues for your own spiritual advancement. Once, in the south of India, there was a great kingdom, the Chera kingdom. In the capital, Tamrachuda, there lived the great emperor of this kingdom, Maharaj Dhritavrata. Dhrita means very firm, and Vrata means vow. This great king felt that his days were coming to an end. And he prayed with all his might to the Lord to give him a son who would be worthy to lead this pious and devotional kingdom to the full perfection of Krishna consciousness. Now when Lord Hari heard the prayers of his great devotees Dhritavrata, he decided to not only give him a son, but to give him an incarnation of his own jewel, the Kostuba jewel, which he carried on a string around his neck. The Lord can incarnate in any form, and so can his jewels incarnate, and his club, and his chakra. So the Kostuba Mani, which is the repository of all jivas, decided to become incarnated as the son of Maharaj Dhritavrata. But as the young prince grew up in the kingdom, he soon became overwhelmed by rajas and tamas. He took pleasure in riding on horses for contests. He learned the arts of spear throwing and also weaponry. He became a knight of rajas. And as he grew up more and more, he disappointed his father Dhritavrata, who left this world in agony and pain. Now Krishna could not tolerate this. When Krishna takes pity upon a jiva, a conditioned soul, he usually arranges that a great devotee is sent who will preach to that soul. I think we all have made this experience in our life. When we became somewhat serious in our lives, we met devotees of Lord Krishna who pointed the way in which we should develop. So Krishna sent to the young prince Vishvakshena, the powerful general of his army. And Vishvakshena said to the prince, "You are so much involved in wealth and in weaponry and the art of war, but I have something much, much better to show you." And he took him, more or less kidnapped him, from this world to the Vaikuntha world, where the young prince saw what is real glory, what is really worthwhile, what is really interesting, what is really pleasing. The young prince saw the Lord, and he saw the servants of the Lord. And as he was watching the smile of the Lord, an attraction which had slumbered in his heart rose like a snake which is victorious over all other enemies. And when the prince came back, he was a changed man. Upon his return, he heard the Ranga Mahatma. It's a little book which glorifies the Lord who reclines on a bed of snakes on an island in the Kaveri River, the Lord of Rangachetra. May I just have a quick show of hands and know from you who has seen Lord Ranganath on his bed of snakes? Please raise your hands. Oh, it is maybe 1/8 of our assembly this evening. He looks very beautiful. When he is on Ananda Shesha, the priest comes with an artic lamp, and the light of that lamp is first waved before the eyes of the Lord, the lotus eyes, which are made with the rubies. And when you see it, see the glance of the Lord fall on you, your material life is finished. My dear devotees, don't hesitate. Run to Ranga Chetra. And if you are a Vrindavan fan, you will find him in Vrindavan also. So when Maharaj Kula Shikhar heard the glories of Lord Ranganath from the Ranga Mahatmya, he decided to leave his kingdom and go and become a servant of that deity. But his ministers, who heard that their king was about to leave them, got some sadhus together and said, "Is there a way to keep the king?" The sadhus said, "Yes, we will tell him something which is not at all a lie, but which is the truth." And they went to the prince and said to him, "The worship of God is very high, but higher still is the worship of his devotees." You know everything. Yes, worshipping the Lord personally is definitely very high, but the Lord says, those who say they are directly my devotees are not really my devotees. Only those who are the devotees of my devotees are my real devotees. So the ministers thought, this is a very good preaching. And they said, "My dear young king, you stay here in the kingdom and you worship the devotees of the Lord. And this is the highest form of worship. No need to go to Ranganath." In their mind they said to themselves, "No need to go to Ranganath, because once having seen Ranganath, who will return?" If our king goes and sees him, our kingdom will be without a king, because he will certainly not return. As Kula Shikhar heard this, now I've given away his name. As the prince heard this, he began to receive Vaishnavas in his kingdom. Whenever there was any devotee, he was informed, "Come and see the king personally. He wants to attend to you." And the king brought to all Vaishnavas food, afterwards some, is it called, condiments, which helped the digestion. Afterwards, when the Vaishnavas had left some remnants, he would eat the remnants from the plate. And imagine this, the king would lick the plates to make sure that every little spot of prasadam which was touched and left by the Vaishnavas was eaten. He gave the Vaishnavas good clothing, like some of you have with your beautiful dhotis. And he listened to the Vaishnavas. And one day, one Vaishnava said to him, "My dear king, there's the supreme subject matter of listening. Do you know that the Lord has appeared amongst the human beings as Lord Ram, and that he became the ruler of Ayodhya? You should spend your time day and night and evening and dawn by listening to the Ramayana. And in this way, you will find the best subject matter of listening for a king like you." And the king, his name I've said already, Maharaj Kula Shikhar, thought this makes sense. And from that day on, he had a brahmana come every day to him and read to him the beautiful story of Lord Ram. He would listen with rapt attention. there was no chance for him to do anything else. If an enemy would have attacked during that time, the king would not have gotten up to mobilize his army. He would have continued to listen to the Ramayana. There was nothing which detracted him. So as the Katha progressed, the Brahmana came to a part where he described the outpost of the demon Ravana in the forest, and then which was only a day's march away from where Kulashika stayed. He described how Kara and Dushanasa, two very, very powerful demons, had an army of several thousand people around them, and they would build the military border of Ravana's empire and defend this. Once, when Lord Rama was banished in the forest, these brothers, Kara and Dushasan, were made attentive to Ram, and they attacked Ram. So the moment the Brahmana described how Ram single-handedly confronted Kara and Dushasan, their mighty army, Kulashika jumped up and said, "Ram, I'm coming to your help." He ran out of the palace where his military encampment was, and he got the generals together and said, "We will march this evening already. Gather all the troops." And, you know, they had horns which were bringing this order to the different military encampment. "The king Kulashika has ordered that you all get your weapons together. We will march this evening and march throughout the night." The army didn't ask any second question. The king had ordered, and they all put on their armor. The whole military got together, and they all started to march towards the forest where Ram was battling with Kara and Dushasan and the army. And they marched throughout the night, and in the morning, Kulashika was alone on his horse, riding in front of the army. He could not wait to defend Lord Rama and help him. The Vaishnava thought, "Oh no, what is happening now? This can end in a drama and in a fiasco." And they sent some other Vaishnava before Kulashika. He overtook him, and he came towards Kulashika and said, "Stop, stop, stop, king. I have good tidings." "What are the tidings?" "There are no good tidings. Ram needs my help." "No, no, no, no longer. It's all over. He has single-handedly, with his bow, killed all the 40,000 Rakshasas while Lakshman was guarding Mother Sita in a cave so that she could not be escaped. The war is over, king." "This is very good," the king said. "Really?" "Yes, look at me. I'm a Vaishnava." So the king looked, and devotees of the Lord were the only persons whom he believed. He didn't believe his ministers. He was believing the devotees. He said, "Fine, these are good news." And he turned around. He met his army, which was progressing steadily, and said, "The war is over, men. Let's get back to the kingdom and let us continue listening Ramayana." So after this incident, the ministers got together and they said, "It's so expensive to get the army together. What if he again hears something about an attack to Rama and again mobilizes the army? we better make sure that the Vaishnava who reads to him the Ramayana jumps over those parts where some war activity is described. This way there will be peace. So, they arranged like this. Now everything went well. There was no further military confrontation in the Ramayana. But one day, the lead narrator, the Brahmana, who was telling the story of Lord Ram or reading the story, he fell sick. And he told his son, "You read in my stead. Today I will take a little rest and drink Brahmastra, orange juice with ginger. That is good against my illness." And the Vaishnava, who was designated to read in his stead, read, and he didn't know about this agreement. And he came to the part where Lord Rama was building the bridge over the ocean to confront Ravan in the end battle on the ground of Lanka. So when Kulashika heard that his lord had assembled an army of monkeys, he felt so much pain. He said, "You're marching, my lord, against the Rakshasas who have modern warfare and magical weapons. But you march with soldiers who can only throw coconuts and not Brahmastras. This is not good. I have a good equipped army with powerful soldiers." And he again ran out of the palace building and he went to his generals and said, "Men, we are marching. Today we are marching towards the southern tip of India, from where we will join the forces across the ocean." "How will we cross the ocean?" "There will be a bridge. The bridge is just now being completed." So, though they all had to march. And my dear devotees, I don't know if we have an army in Australia. Do we have? We have. It is available. To make an army march is so expensive. You have to... tanks and fuel and enough bread and butter for the soldiers and whatever they eat has to be there. Some entertainment, the weaponry, the or Nachschub, you know, whatever is Nachschub in English. it's a highly expensive and complicated activity to get an army marching. And the generals thought, "Not again one of those religious wars." But they had to follow the king. The king was very determined. And the army marched through the dust and the sweat of India until finally they came to the southern tip. And again, Kulashika, who had so much faith in the narration of scripture, started to shout, "Ram, I'm coming to your help." He ran with his battle horse into the ocean. Then when his horse couldn't do it any longer, he jumped from the back of the horse. He was dressed in full armor. And he went, "Oh, Ram, I'm coming." But soon you could only see his sword over the water. He was himself submerged and marching under the water. He was so determined. "Ram, I'm coming. Ram, I'm coming. I'm coming to serve you in this last confrontation between you and Ravan, who has kidnapped your wife Sita." But no one can stay for long under the water, not even a fully trained king. When Lord Ram could feel that his devotee was in danger of drowning, he came with a boat. As he came with a boat over the ocean, the devatas assembled in the sky to witness what was going on. And this boat with Lord Ram came to the spot where Kula Shikar had submerged under the water. And the hand of Lord Ram went down into the water and he grabbed his dear devotee and brought him into the boat. As all the devatas watched this endearing scene where the Lord saved his devotees, they cried tears and throwed flower petals down. King Kula Shikar awoke in that boat and looked into the smiling face of his Lord. And as he looked into this face, he was captured and seized by divine ecstasies. Tears started gushing from his eyes, and he wanted to say Ram, 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 but he only could say Ra, Ra, Ra. Finally, the Lord brought him to the shore. He carried him on the beach and he cleansed the body of Kula Shikar and wiped the tears from his eyes and said, I'm sorry, in this life you only see me one time, but soon we will meet again. And as he said these words, he and Lakshman and also Mother Sita, who was there next to him, disappeared. When the soldiers, who were not yet so advanced to see Lord Ram, saw their king, they found him wailing on the beach. He looked like a person who had just now lost everything. Was wailing, was crying, Ram, Ram, Ram. After a day or so, Kula Shikar gained his composure and he was brought back to his kingdom. He continued to rule there, following the perfect example of Lord Ram, as good as he could. He arranged many Vaishnava festivals. Every day there was some procession going through the town. He built many temples. He built many dwellings for Brahmanas and Vaishnavas because he wanted his state to be blessed. And he always thought, when will I join my Lord, my only Lord? From that day where he returned, he became even more subservient to the Vaishnavas. When there was a devotee, he would personally come and bring a plate of prasad to him and wait until he had eaten and then take care of his plate. The Vaishnavas had access to the king day and night. Even the ministers could not see him that frequently. They could come into the dining room. They could come even into the sleeping room of the king. The king only wanted that association. So again the ministers thought, how can we rule a king? Oops, sorry. How can we rule a kingdom when our king himself is servant to someone else? We must somehow undermine his faith in the Vaishnavas. These Vaishnavas, they are interrupting the king when he sits with us to make plans how to rule the government. These Vaishnavas, they come even into his dining area. These Vaishnavas are just too much, and some of them are poor and uncultured. So what they did is, they did the following. There was a beautiful deity of Lord Krishna in the palace of Lord Ram, in the palace of Kula Shikar, of course. And he was bedecked, like you will find in South India, with very costly jewels. Do you know that the Udupi Krishna has one dress just made from jewels, which is uncalculable in value? They say it's millions or billions of dollars worth. I forgot, but it's so valuable. And in the same way, the deity of Kula Shikar had garments out of jewels. So one night, after the Brahmana had laid the deity to rest, the ministers arranged that the jewel dress of the Lord was stolen. And when in the morning the Brahmana looked around for that jewel dress, he couldn't find it. The king was notified. A question was, who could be a possible suspect? The king asked his ministers to come. And the minister said that the only people who have free, unhindered access here in the kingdom are the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas have stolen the jewels. When Kula Shikar heard this, he got angry, like only a king can be angry. But his anger was not towards the Vaishnavas. His anger was towards the ministers. He wanted to punish the ministers for this offense. But first he had to prove them wrong. So he did something which is very terrible. We have it in Europe. It's called a goddess urteil, the judgment of God. What is done is, if someone is suspected to have done something wrong, he can prove himself innocent by grabbing, for instance, a glowing iron bar. And if his hand is not hurt, then it's called the judgment of God, and he's proven right. So King Kula Shikar did something like that. He said, bring a clay pot, and inside a dangerous king cobra. And then before his whole kingdom, he said, if the Vaishnavas are not guilty of stealing, then the cobra who's inside the pot will not bite me when I put my arm into the pot. Now, whenever you put your arm into a pot with a cobra is highly irritated about the intruder and will bite 100%. The whole kingdom was, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Kula Shikar bared his arm. The pot was there. For a moment they allowed the cobra to raise his head outside the pot. Everyone could see the cobra is inside. And then again, the Kula Shikar said, if the Vaishnavas are not guilty of stealing, the Vaishnavas are not thieves, the cobra will not bite me. If they are thieves, the cobra will bite me. He put his arm inside. There was a little shock. He took his arm out, and around his arm was the cobra with his head trying to bite. But because of the way it was set up, the truth was so powerful that the Vaishnavas are not thieves, that the cobra could not bite. Maharaj Kula Shikar Ki. Well, the people in the kingdom have shouted much louder than you. They felt as if the king had just returned to life. Maharaj Kula Shikar became angry like fire. You foolish ministers, you have dared to make this plot. I know your crooked intelligence. You wanted that I chase away the Vaishnavas from the kingdom, but I will chase you away. Know very well that by praising Lord Hari, all sins are taken away. But even if there is a sinner against Lord Hari, but he praises the Vaishnavas, then the sins of going against the Lord will be taken away. However, if you criticize the Vaishnavas, whose praise is so powerful that it can correct everything, then you are doomed and you are lost. I do not want you as my ministers anyway, and anymore. You are henceforward released from your positions. So after this, Maharaj Kula Shikar became more and more determined. He gave the kingdom to a very qualified successor, but then he took his daughter and his wife with him and went to Ranganath. He had enough of the world. He wanted to dedicate the remainder of his life in very humble service to Lord Ranganath. This king became such a servant, my dear devotees, that he was sweeping the temple personally. He married his daughter to Lord Ranganath, and he and his wife lived their life in the Ranga Chetra complex. If you go today to Lord Ranganath, you will see a threshold and you will see two figures on the threshold. They are there in the granite of the threshold. They are carved in the granite. It's Maharaj Kula Shikar and his wife. Maharaj Kula Shikar left us with one song, Mukunda Mala Stotra, and I would like to sing this song with you because Srila Prabhupada used to sing it. Maharaj Kula Shikar sings in this song a song to Lord Krishna. O Lord Krishna, he says, at this very moment, let the royal swan of my mind enter the tangled stems of the lotus of your feet. How will it be possible for me to remember you at the time of death, when my throat will be choked up with mucus, bile and air? Let me now remember you, my Lord. May I be sturdy and healthy. That is my only desire. Let this not happen at the at the moment of death. Then I'm useless anyways. I'm overcome with the dying process, mucus, bile and air. I have done some personal research. He says, let the royal swan of my mind enter your lotus feet. The Sanskrit for this is Manasa Raja Hangsa. It's something like a goose. It's not really like your Australian swan, you know, with the head and all. But it is a very kingly animal. who migrates each year to the Manasa Ganga, where there are many lotus flowers. In order to go there, he has to cross the Himalayan mountain range, and that is very difficult. It's extremely difficult because there are these high storms up there. Those of you who have gone on pilgrimage in the Himalayan mountains had to maybe fight with the storms, who are so powerful that they can blow a grown-up man into the abyss. It was so powerful. When I was there, I had to throw myself on my belly and, you know, just go with all my force, just crawl like an Australian snake, you know, and just hold tight to the mountains. It was such a storm. So sometimes the royal goose or the Manasa Raja Hansa cannot cross because the storm is just too wild. Sometimes they have to try 4 or 5 days to just pierce through the storm. I found this a very nice analogy. Our mind also has sometimes a lot of difficulty in concentrating on the Hare Krishna mantra. Have you also experienced this? It's like as if you have to fly against a powerful storm. And the storm tries to throw you back. But try and try again and you will be successful. That's the example. Because you want to go to the place where the lotus of the feet of Lord Krishna are available, to Goloka Vrindavan. Try again. Master the storms, Gopinath. Go on forward, O wayward soul, and just pierce through all the obstacles. That's required. And I believe today, as we were worshipping the lotus feet of the holy name, and as we learned some techniques during japa, we became encouraged. Yes, it is possible to master the storm. Even it's possible that we will learn tomorrow to ride the storm of the mind. In other words, to take the activities of the mind, which are sometimes disturbing, to our favor. In other words, you use the energy of the mind to concentrate. It's quite something. You will learn something wonderful tomorrow. Yes. So this is the prayer which Prabhupada would often chant. I was in Germany often guarding his door, and I would hear him chanting this in a certain melody which I would like to chant with you. I will sing one line, and I request you kindly to follow me. The Sanskrit is there, and we can all sing. No? Krishna tvadiya pada pankaja panjarantam. Krishna tvadiya pada pankaja panjarantam. Adyeva me vishatamana saraja hansa. Adyeva me vishatamana saraja hansa. Prana prayana samaye kapavata pittai. Prana prayana samaye kapavata pittai. Kanta varodana vido smaranam kutas. Kanta varodana vido smaranam kutaste. We are trying our best. So this wonderful prayer, O Lord Krishna, let the royal swan of my mind, Manasaraja Hansa, enter the stems of your lotus feet this very day. I don't want to wait. It should happen now. For when my life breath leaves me, you know, when I'm on my deathbed, and I am choking with mucus, air and bile, how will it be possible for me to remember you? This is the determination of a devotee who is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He prays to the Lord, let me concentrate now, not tomorrow, not the day after tomorrow, not if I have eaten a strawberry halwa. No, I will concentrate my mind today. Now I will do it. And then after some time, now again I will do it. And this is the determination of the chanter. I would now like to chant with you for 20 minutes. Chant with you for 20 minutes. But how do you like Maharaj Kulashika's example? You know, when you hear this, how he has so much faith in the scriptures which tell him about his beloved Lord, that he mobilizes his army to come to the aid of the Lord. When he has so much faith in the Vaishnavas, that he is ready to submit to the judgment of God. You know, many times these things, at least in medieval times, I've read something about God judgments, you know. They really went wrong, you know. People said, if I'm right, I will walk through fire. And when they entered the fire, they were burned to ashes. So he had so much faith, really, and devotion to the Vaishnavas, that he would submit himself to such a risky judgment. His whole life was really spent with this deep shraddha in the Lord and his abode and his names, his servants and so on. Therefore, you find him engraved in granite on the thresholds to the temple, because we also wish that our shraddha increases in bounds and leaps, since shraddha is the only gate into the palace of bhakti. You need to go through that gate, the gate of deep abiding faith. And he is a master of faith. We will sing a beautiful raga which we have tried to learn. I always call it the crying melody, because just to hear this melody reminds me of calling for Lord Krishna. Please try to sing as good as you can. We might not catch it immediately with the first go, but after some time we will swing ourselves into the tune.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama. Thank you.
your hands to the ceiling and then in one voice chant, Hare Krishna. Is really chanting together. People now invite Madhava Prabhu to lead us for a good amount of time in the chanting. Please, as we set up for Madhava, Gaurahari, maybe you can put the harmonium here. I request you for our Dvijavara make some arrangement. Now, I request you to really know that the most important work which you can do on the Holy Name retreat is really chanting together with devotees. That's where everything happens and where the gifts are given to you. So we will do this now.